Intelligent design and DNA. The scholars can't explain it all away. Get ready to be awed by the handiwork of God. Tune in to Real Science Radio. Turn up the Real Science Radio.
Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. Welcome to Real Science Radio. I'm Bob Enyart.
And I'm Fred Williams, creation speaker and software engineer.
And today is our annual list of evidence against the Big Bang.
What great timing. We've got two Big Bang stories in the news, right?
That's right, Fred. March 2014, they proved the Big Bang.
Yeah.
They proved the inflation theory. Remember Alan Guth in the 80s? He's still around. They proved it.
Yep.
Well, they didn't actually.
Yeah, we'll see about that.
Let's get to that later in the program because this is so fun. What we do every year. We did it last year with Lawrence Krauss, world-renowned theoretical physicist. And so now this year, let's go through our list of evidence against the Big Bang.
Okay, well, one of those is one of the items in the news here recently on March 12th.
Oh, yeah.
And that's the Carnegie Institute. So these guys, these scientists, found 15 massive, mature galaxies.
Yeah.
Now, listen, they were 12 billion light years away. Why is that a problem?
12 billion.
Because these are grown-ups. They should not be there. You know, they're
these
too
galaxies,
old.
They think that first you had the Big Bang. Then you had the inflation period, which only lasted a trillionth of a trillionth of a trillionth of a second, they say, which solves some of their serious problems. Then they say it took, you know, eons for gas to begin to condense, to form stars and stars to form galaxies. And eventually you get what would be, after billions of years, mature-looking galaxies with stars that are billions of years old. One of the first science predictions on this program back in 1995, we made some before that. NASA was getting ready to take their Hubble Deep Field image of the furthest galaxies ever photographed, and they said they would see galaxies in their infancy. That's what they were expecting to see. Bob and Yurt Live, I was on the air in 80 cities. I predicted actually what they're going to see is galaxies that look just like galaxies next door, because God created all the galaxies on the same day, on day four, all at the same time. So you're going to see mature galaxies, mature. That's what you'll see.
And that's what we've seen since then and right up till today.
Yeah.
Another example.
And way back then in 1995, Science Now had a cartoon drawing on their cover, and it was a nursery, like cribs and diapers and all.
Yeah, so like romper room.
Romper room, but it had old men as
old
the
men
kids
in romper room.
And they said, what's wrong with this picture? Why are these galaxies old when they should be young? One of the first Real Science Radio predictions confirmed. And you know, the Cosmos series now with Neil deGrasse Tyson, and he was just interviewed saying creationists cannot read the Bible and make any predictions about the real world that could come true. Lo and behold, we've made many predictions that have come true. Okay, what's next?
What about galaxy superclusters?
Oh.
So kind of like the Great Wall. I mean, that's what they're called, right?
Oh, yeah. And the Sloan Great Wall and all the filaments. And Fred, you have millions of galaxies and they seem to form shapes, like even bubbles. And so they're trying to figure out, okay, these shapes like the Great Wall, gravity had to somehow pull all these together. But the problem is, and this is acknowledged by some of the world's leading astrophysicists, that there's no time for gravity to form these super clusters. The universe is nowhere near old enough.
Some of them are billions of light years across, right?
Right. And so, okay, that's the second problem. The far away galaxies are too old. The super clusters are too old. And everything by billions of years, which is fun. It's not like a margin of error kind of thing.
So, you know, the other problem is these clusters that are formed like this, they're way, way out there.
Way far away. Fred, the further away they are, you're looking back in time.
Exactly.
So if they're 10 billion light years away, you're looking back 10 billion years. Well, it turns out that plenty of the world's leading astronomers, like at Princeton, the astrophysics professor Michael Strauss, has said that the tremendously distant galaxies are just as clustered as today and are arranged in the same filamentary, bubbly structures that nearby galaxies are. Fred, not only are the faraway galaxies look just as old as nearby galaxies, but they're clustered just like nearby galaxies.
Well, yeah, go from the East Coast to the West Coast, and you got Caltech's astronomy professor Charles Steidel, and he said that galaxies we are seeing at great distances are as strongly clustered in the early universe as they are today.
That's just tremendous. So for one, there's not enough time for gravity to form these clusters. And two, we should see way more clustering with nearby galaxies that are 13 billion years old. But the further away we look, we see the same clustering back then, too, or way out there. So Lawrence Krauss on this program, that all evidence overwhelmingly supports the Big Bang.
Yeah, that's right. And yet we've just gone through three that overwhelmingly contradict a Big Bang.
Overwhelmingly.
The Big Bang does not accommodate what we're seeing here.
We have that audio. Lawrence Krauss, theoretical physicist, emphasis on the theoretical, was on this show for two programs on YouTube. Atheists have taken that interview between me and Lawrence Krauss, put it on YouTube, and it has tens of thousands of views. And just as our realscienceradio.com/Krauss interview has had many thousands of listens and downloads. So let's hear that. This is like, what, 10 seconds? Let's hear it. In your book, you say all evidence now overwhelmingly supports the Big Bang.
Well, now that's, overwhelming is an understatement.
That's a,
all evidence that's supports a whopper. That the Earth is round. All evidence supports that there was a Big Bang. All evidence
all right.
supports evolution.
Okay, yeah, right. All evidence.
It's an understatement, Bob.
Supports the Big Bang. So, Fred, the evidence we just listed, which doesn't come from creationists, I mean, they affirm it too.
Yeah.
It's just the data. It undermines. That's why these scientists are embarrassed, they're confused, they're shocked. Those are the kinds of words they frequently use.
And we've just started our list.
We've just started. Okay,
just
well.
Begun.
Since all evidence supports the Big Bang, I'm sure we have nothing else on
yeah.
our list.
Hey, and you know what else? The spiral galaxies, they're missing millions of years of collisions.
Oh, millions.
So, millions, yeah. Probably even more than that. And, you know, because after all this great time, you'd think that you'd see a lots of
collisions.
And we don't. Consider University of Texas Astronomy Department Chairman John Cormandy. He said that it was something of a shock. And they look rather too perfect.
Right. And he studied with Princeton University's cosmologist Jim Peebles. They were studying spiral galaxies, and we've all seen so many photos of them. In fact, just go to realscienceradio.com/bang or /big bang,
easy.
However you want to do it. And you will see the most beautiful spiral galaxy, and it has that customary glow in the middle of it, a glowing sphere. And so they studied the bulges in the center of the spiral galaxies, and they expected to see, like you just said, millions of years of collisions, or billions of years, really, of collisions. And this is what Princeton University cosmologist Jim Peebles said, quote, "It's really an embarrassment."
It's an embarrassment.
Because they were looking for hundreds of millions of years worth of collisions, and what they found were these spiral galaxy bulges that looked too perfect. They look pristine.
They look pristine. They look young. They don't look like billions of years old. They look out
right.
and they expect to see all this age happening.
Yes.
I mean, it's the same thing when you look at the Earth. And they're surprised by so many things they find.
It's not like they're the only two guys that thought galaxies would have a billion years worth of collisions of stars.
Yeah.
That's a fundamental implication of the Big Bang model.
It's a completely reasonable expectation, and it doesn't happen.
Right.
Yet there's overwhelming evidence for the Big Bang.
Yeah. How about this one? Indiana University led a study. They looked at 15 galaxies to see the heavy metal. You know what they believe, Fred? That the elements heavier than the lightest three. So hydrogen, helium, and lithium.
Mm-hmm.
Astronomers call everything higher than that on the periodic table a metal. To astronomers, carbon is a metal.
Yep.
Oxygen is a metal. That's their terminology.
Yep.
But at any rate, they said, okay, let's study these 15 galaxies, and we'll see all the heavy elements that were formed because if they're billions of years old, they think the heavy elements form in stars. And so guess what they found? You know what they found. You did the show a year ago. They couldn't find the metal.
Missing metal.
9 billion years of missing metal in a trillion stars.
Yeah. It's a reasonable expectation to have these metals, but they're not there.
They're not there. And so that's evidence that overwhelmingly supports the Big Bang. And these observations, these are among the largest, the greatest scientific observations in history when you're looking galaxy-wide observations. Then there's another fun one about population 3 stars. Fred, you and I have talked about these quite often because if stars evolve the way evolutionists say, well, the first stars would just have hydrogen and helium, trace amounts of lithium, and then you get more and more heavy elements, and they describe the generations going backwards. So the current generation, like our sun, they'd say it's population 1. And then the generation that preceded that, population 2. And then the first stars, population three, they've been looking for them for a long time.
They can keep looking.
In fact, we have science. You know, this is one of the world's leading journals. January 2002, astronomers have never seen a pure population 3 star despite years of combing our Milky Way galaxy.
Hey, we just said that.
Right.
This is from the journal Science.
Now, here's a bit of evidence against the Big Bang that's right here on Earth. Because,
kind of counterintuitive, but hey.
Yeah, right here on Earth, when we look for radioactivity, uranium and thorium and so on, where do we find it? Well, Lawrence Krauss, in blasphemy toward Jesus Christ, he mocks Jesus when he says, you know, basically, forget Jesus, a star died so that you can live.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yep.
And what does the Bible say? God laughs last.
Yes.
God laughs at the wicked.
Yep.
So hopefully Lawrence Krauss will humble himself and repent.
The first time I got into this creation evolution debate, I was told that I came from metal.
Metal?
Yeah.
Well,
that's a common thing they say. You know,
we came from metal.
Yeah. But, and they're talking about, all the dust from the stars.
Stardust. Yeah. You are stardust.
Yes.
So Lawrence Krauss says, it's so romantic. It's so beautiful. And if that were true, if all the heavy elements came from supernova that exploded or neutron stars that merged or whatever, well, then you would expect to find those heavy elements somewhat evenly dispersed throughout the Earth, especially through the mantle, through the crust, but you don't. 90%, and Lawrence Krauss admitted this on the show. I asked him and he agreed. 90% of the Earth's radioactive elements are concentrated in the continental crust, not even the crust under the oceans, but
that's
in the
right.
continental crust. And not only that, it's preferentially near granite.
Hmm.
That is evidence against the Big Bang, because if all of our thorium came from the Big Bang, you'd think it'd be dispersed evenly throughout the Earth.
We have a great show on the origin of Earth's radioactivity. Oh. I highly recommend that show, just so you know what
most
we're talking
fun.
About here.
Most fun
show. To me, it's like the show of the year last year.
Yeah, yeah. And you can find it, realscienceradio.com/radioactivity.
Yep.
And all those, by the way, you could use the abbreviation rsr.org/radioactivity.
So what about the solar system formation theory? What's up with that?
Oh, yeah. Fred, you know how they claim that they figured out how planets would form around stars? They say, well, the inner planets would be rocky. Gas giants couldn't form unless they're really far away. Now that they're finding planets around other stars, they're finding out that those planets don't fit the solar system evolution theory that had been believed for decades.
I love this quote from Caltech astronomer Mike Brown. He told this to NPR, before we ever discovered any planets outside the solar system, we thought we understood the formation of planetary systems pretty deeply.
Sure.
It was really a beautiful theory and clearly, thoroughly wrong.
Right. You know, the Big Bang, it's a story to account for what we see.
Yep. Hey, let's bring it back to our solar system, Bob. It doesn't even work here. What's up with Venus?
Oh, Venus rotates retrograde backwards. And one of the planets has a moon that orbits backward.
Neptune?
Neptune, its moon Triton, the largest moon that orbits backward. So that violates one of the laws of physics,
right? Conservation of angular momentum.
And not only that, the planets orbit around the sun in a plane, and that plane is significantly offset from the sun's equator.
Yeah.
So like what? Somebody tipped the sun or tipped all the planets? The theory of solar system formation doesn't work here. And we have those tremendous astronomy DVDs by Spike Pisaris, What They Aren't Telling You About Astronomy 1 and 2. Well, it doesn't work here. And with all the exoplanets now discovered, those planets are contradicting the beloved theory of solar system formation. If people go to our website and look at the show at realscienceradio.com, we will link to so many sources so people could read more and learn about the discoveries that are showing all these amazing things.
Okay, so the next bit of evidence against the Big Bang, how about this philosophy that they have that the universe has no center?
Yes, we have linked to so many leading astronomers and cosmologists, Fred, like Stephen Hawking, George Ellis, Richard Feynman, and they say that the belief that the universe has no center, which is integral to the Big Bang, they say that belief is a philosophical belief. It's not based on observational science. That's big.
And, you know, we've talked about quantized redshifts before. What quantized redshifts show is that our galaxy has to be the center, because as you go out from our galaxy, other galaxies form around a concentric circle. Then you go a little bit farther out and you get more galaxies forming along a concentric circle. You can't explain that without us being the center of the universe.
So that the actual science that is in, Lawrence Krauss says, we're scientists, we don't believe anything, which is so absurd, right? They believe by faith. It's a philosophical tenet that the universe has no center. As you just described, scientists have been mapping the universe in three dimensions for decades now. They have mapped millions of galaxies. And so far, it appears that the Earth is in the center of these concentric shells where there are preferential distances.
That's right.
Forget about the superclusters. The whole universe seems to be a supercluster onion shape.
Yeah.
With the Earth very close to the center, not the dead center. If we were in the dead center, it'd be hard to tell if we were in the center or if it was only an artifact of just looking out. But if you took a party balloon and said, okay, that's the size of the universe, then put a mark about an eighth of an inch off of the dead center of that balloon, and that's about where the Milky Way galaxy is based on all this redshift data.
And I know this is skipping ahead, but just last year we talked about the axis of evil. I mean, that is also evidence for a center. They notice temperatures are slightly higher on one side of the universe,
the hemisphere
plane
of the universe.
Yeah, than it is on the other side.
Right.
And the axis of that thing goes right through right. Not only our solar system, it goes right through Earth.
The North Celestial Pole and the equinoxes. It's just astounding.
Yep.
And when they looked at supernova, they found that they were also preferentially distributed based on the Earth's orbit around the sun. So, Fred, there's so much really fun information. In fact, how about this? The sun should be spinning really quickly. The angular momentum of the solar system, the whole solar system, is spinning in a prograde, basically the same direction. The sun is missing nearly 100% of its Big Bang predicted spin.
Yep.
It's like somebody not only tilted the sun, how do you do that? Or all the planets in their plane orbiting the sun. Imagine like tilt Jupiter, okay, now tilt Neptune, okay, now tilt Saturn. But the sun has lost about 99% of its spin, the angular momentum of the sun, if in fact it was formed as the planets were formed with a spiraling nebula condensing. Well, then who stopped the sun?
Who stopped it?
So that's another fun example of the evidence is not consistent with the Big Bang.
This is a real hot potato.
As Lawrence Krauss says, and I think he's a marketing rep. I think he is a Big Bang lobbyist, a Big Bang marketing rep, a Big Bang evangelist. He is not an objective scientist. If he were, he could never say all the evidence overwhelmingly supports the Big Bang. He's not only wrong, he's lying.
Yeah, he calls it an understatement to boot.
And he's on faculty at Arizona State University, where I attended, studied computer science. You know what he's doing, Fred, to his students? He's using propaganda to brainwash them because it's his atheistic bias. He desperately wants the Big Bang to be true, so he sees everywhere confirmation bias. Oh, look, those old galaxies, they must support the Big Bang. No, they don't, Lawrence.
Bob, I think that's it. There's no more evidence. Oh, wait a minute. I got like a book here left to go through.
There's so much more evidence.
What about the missing echo of the Big Bang?
Oh, yeah. They figured if there was a Big Bang, look at the nearby galaxies, and we should be able to distinguish the echo of the Big Bang.
So, Bob, what about looking at galaxies and their spiral arms? They're really perfect. They're not wound up like we'd expect, you know, over billions of years. In fact, when I first met you, you were debating a professor at CU, and this was one of the arguments that was brought up. It's called the winding up problem. And I was surprised that they didn't even offer a story or an explanation. They just skipped it.
The spiral arms, that's why they invented dark matter. And they've invented dark energy and all these imaginary
rescue devices,
because the theory's in crisis.
Yeah.
And all the rescue devices they create, usually they just make more problems than they solve. Each kind of problem, like we've been listing, requires different kinds of rescue devices. So the spiral galaxies, the arms are so beautiful, and they should be deformed because the center stars are spinning at rates so different than the stars in the outer arms that they should all have broken apart. They should have all deformed, and they haven't deformed. So that is evidence against the Big Bang. So they've invented dark matter, and Fred, a lot of astronomers and cosmologists have objected strenuously. In fact, maybe we could hear Lawrence Krauss again, because I ask him, wouldn't it be true that a lot of astronomers would agree with me and you,
that's right,
that there's a lot of evidence against the Big Bang. Now, would there be many advanced degreed scientists at leading universities who would agree with me and disagree with you?
No.
He said, no. Remember, no. Fred, we've gone to cosmologystatement.org so many times.
Yeah, it's a great place to go to see all kinds of advanced degreed scientists who aren't all creationists. In fact, most of them are evolutionists.
They all say they believe the universe is millions or billions of years old.
But they know that the evidence is so overwhelming against the Big Bang. They've come up with this huge list that a lot of people have signed.
Yeah, I mean, hundreds.
We've got some really prominent scientists that have signed this list.
Yeah, from prestigious institutions.
Yeah.
And Lawrence Krauss says no, there are none.
Yep.
He's
in denial.
He's in denial. You know, maybe what he's thinking is they've fired so many professors who doubted Darwinism and who doubted the Big Bang. Maybe he thinks there are none left.
Yeah.
But there are still so many.
I shouldn't laugh at that. It's true, unfortunately.
Right.
If you don't toe the company line, you're risking your job.
Dr. Jerry Bergman, we've interviewed him on his book, The Slaughter of the Dissidents. If you disagree, they will try to get you fired.
Yep.
Just like if you don't want to participate promoting a homosexual wedding, they'll try to get you to lose your job or even throw you in jail, like the bakery guy here in Colorado.
Yep.
They said they might throw him in jail. This cosmologystatement.org lists hundreds of advanced degreed scientists who say the Big Bang, evidence is not there for it. Dark matter, dark energy are make-believe imaginary rescue devices. And if you go to cosmologystatement.com.
If you accidentally type in .com.
You still will get some amazing information.
Yeah, you will. She should try it out.
Yeah,
cosmologystatement.org, then go to cosmologystatement.com.
Yeah, we won't even tell people where it goes. That's so great. There's so much more information. John Maddox was the editor of the journal Nature for 23 years, and he has a book out, What Remains to be Discovered. And he said this, Fred, what came first, stars or galaxies? He said, we don't know.
Yeah, they don't know the order.
We don't know. When Lawrence Krauss wants you to believe that the Big Bang, they have it all figured out, all the evidence supports it, if they don't know what came first, stars or galaxies, they're overselling their confidence in the theory.
Yep.
In a big way.
So what about all the fine-tuning we see in the universe, the solar system, Earth, everywhere?
We've done an entire show quoting leading physicists, and we list the amazing fine-tuning of the universe, the galaxies, and even of our solar system and the Earth. A beautiful evidence.
That's a huge long list in itself. That could be its own show.
We did our own show. Just realscienceradio.com/tuning. Then there's an entire universe worth of missing antimatter. Because if you had a Big Bang, there's matter and antimatter. Theoretically, the Big Bang should produce both, but it didn't. So there's an entire universe full of matter that the Big Bang predicts that doesn't
exist. So wait a minute. You're telling me there's no antimatter.
Well, there are trace bits of antimatter.
Trace bits.
If an electron and a positron met, they would annihilate each other.
Okay.
And so thankfully, there's not a lot of that stuff.
Yep.
But trace amounts. And so there's another example of missing evidence, and it's a universe full of matter missing if the Big Bang were true. Fred, we're out of time. There's so many more examples of the serious problems, massive evidence against the Big Bang. But I think we should address this latest claim that they have proof for the Big Bang, even the inflation period. Fred, they say that within the first second of the Big Bang, the universe doubled in size 60 times.
60 times, yep.
At so much faster than the speed of light.
Like, and this was headline news. It was on Fox News, one of their big three items that they had on their webpage.
Right.
Like, here we go again. I mean, this is a classic mountain out of a molehill. Now, this is a very, 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 very tiny molehill.
Yeah. So they say in a trillionth of a trillionth of a trillionth of a second, the universe increased in size dramatically. But what caused it to increase in size, they don't know. And what stopped it instantly, they don't know. Like if it continued for, what, another billionth of a second, the universe would be 1,000 times bigger than it is, and so on. Anyway, Fred, they say by looking at the CMB, the microwave background radiation, they've detected an extremely subtle signal that indicates they found the evidence of the inflation period.
Yeah. And, you know, I like what Science Now said, something that, you know, I don't think they meant it to come out this way, but it's like a magical balloon. They say the cosmos doubled its size 60 times in a span of 10 to the minus 32 seconds. I mean, that's really, really fast.
Yeah, so that's
a fairy tale. That is a magical balloon. It's a make-believe to try to come up with inflation, and they're trying to come up with inflation to
solve problems.
All these other problems like the horizon problem that we've talked about.
Exactly. And so there's a physicist, Rob Sheldon, who said, you know, creationists believe God stretched out the heavens, which is what we present from the Bible. And he said, if God did that, then a supernatural event like that would leave footprints in natural signals, probably. But Fred, to look at the summary of this latest announcement at crev.info, a website, Creation Evolution website, they say this. They say there's a very tiny signal of uncertain origin that might have been detected in microwaves that might have originated in gravitational waves, but confirmation is needed. Some cosmologists have pet theories, but nobody understands what any of this means. So that's
people are going to read that and not understand what it means, but they're going to think, wow, they have this powerful evidence.
Right, exactly. And
by the way,
this physicist, Rob Sheldon, he says basically the inflation period is the equivalent of a miracle.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a miracle to save the Big Bang, which all evidence overwhelmingly supports the Big Bang.
He says they're inflating a nanometer into a light year. I mean, that really sums it up well.
Wow. Thank you so much, Fred Williams.
Thanks, Bob.
Thank you for listening to Real Science Radio. Our website, realscienceradio.com. Please click on our store. If you purchase our science materials, you help Fred and I stay on the air for another year, and you can make a donation one time or ongoing to help Real Science Radio. May God bless you.
Scholars can't explain it all away. Get ready to be awed by the handiwork of God. Tune in to Real Science Radio. Turn up the Real Science Radio. Keeping it real. That's what I'm talking about.